This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, and happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Championship Sunday was yesterday. That's what it's called. Although if you're not an NFL fan, you wouldn't call yesterday Championship Sunday. Yesterday was the day the AFC Championship game was played, and then the NFC Championship game was played. And to be honest with you, there was one good half. The first half of the first game, the AFC Championship game, was good, and then after that, it was all blowouts. In the second half, Kansas City absolutely blew out Tennessee in the AFC Championship game in the first game. And then in the second game, San Francisco completely blew out and destroyed Green Bay. Disappointing games. So at least we got one good half out of four halves of football yesterday. And how about the game, the running back? Well, one of the running backs of the San Francisco 49ers had. Raheem Mostert. Here's a guy, and wait till you hear his story momentarily. But here's a guy, yesterday, he ran in the NFC Championship game, he ran for over 200 yards and scored four touchdowns in the NFC Championship game. That has never been done before. And what makes it even more interesting is the fact that he's been cut by several NFL teams in his career, and he keeps a list with him just to remind himself. He showed some reporters after the game on his cell phone. He keeps a list, and at the top of the screen it has two words: cut dates. And then it says Philadelphia, September 4th, 2015. Miami, October 13th, 2015. Baltimore, December 14th, 2015. Cleveland, September 4th, 2016. The New York Jets and the Chicago Bears. All of those teams have cut him. And he keeps that list with the dates right next to it on his cell phone just to remind himself if things are ever going a little bit too well. He's like, look, I want to remind myself that I could always end up right back here. And it's funny how most of those teams suck. The teams that cut them. And they were watching him yesterday, again, run for over 200 yards, and he scored four touchdowns. It's the Raheem Mostert, only player in NFL history to rush for at least 200 yards and four touchdowns. No running back has ever done that in the playoffs, and he did it yesterday in the NFC Championship game at 27 years old after being cut by so many NFL teams. And I think that's a great story.
Well, would you call his methods negative reinforcement? Like he's only focusing on his failures instead of focusing on his positive? You think that motivates him? Like he looks at the list of all the times he's got cut instead of all the times he's done well or looking at his good stats? Would you consider that a good example of negative reinforcement working for the better?
Yeah, absolutely, Coleman. It's reminding him that list reminds him where he's been, and he never wants to forget that, and as well as he does.
I can see how it can keep one humble, you know, and not get too ahead of yourself because anything can happen at any time.
No, nobody saw this coming when the season started. I believe he was RB4. He made the team because he could play well on special teams, on kickoff, punts.
So he's like that Taysom Hill.
Yeah, but then they had a bunch of running backs get hurt And he was, I believe when the season started, he was fourth or fifth on the depth chart when it came to running backs. And by the end of the season, he was at the top. Fantasy football owners all over America, the last couple of weeks of the season were picking him up because, you know, all the running backs in front of him had been injured, and here he is, and he did it. And he just says, look, I've got a family, I've got kids, I've got a wife, I don't want to end up back on the streets. And he said, this reminds me, and he said that yesterday, the moment that he's going to cherish forever. Pretty impressive, San Francisco yesterday, as well as Kansas City. It should be a very entertaining Super Bowl. I mean, you've got a great defense with the San Francisco 49ers against a great offense with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that'll be fun to watch. How disappointing was Aaron Rodgers? I think it's safe to say he's on the downside of his career now. I mean, after being so great for so long, and it wasn't just his fault yesterday, but he turned the ball over and he didn't look great. And I believe the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he only threw the ball eight times yesterday. He didn't have to because they were able to run. Sean Payton hopefully could learn a little bit from that because something that he didn't do in the Saints playoff loss. So who do you like, San Francisco or Kansas City? And I've always said in all sports, especially the later you go in the season, in the playoffs, defense usually beats offense. So with that thinking, I'm thinking San Francisco. But it's hard to right now. I mean, we're still a couple weeks away. It's hard to just crap on Patrick Mahomes right now because he's playing the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's playing at an incredibly high level. So, 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl. Get the and I know there's a lot of Saints fans around here. I'm not watching yesterday.
Yeah, they already checked out.
I saw that on social media. I'm not watching yesterday. I'm going to go do something else yesterday. I'm going to go work in the garden. I'm going to go do something else yesterday. All right. Coming up on the show, I checked out a new place in Metairie that just opened up on Saturday. It was an old place, but it moved down the road. And boy, is it good. I'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, Led Zeppelin. So the arrest warrant for star NFL wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. that the New Orleans police had in the wake of 1 week ago tonight, last Monday night, LSU national championship victory here in the Superdome. Odell Beckham Jr. And we're not talking about when he was handing out cash to the LSU players after the game. He wasn't charged for that yet. But then after that, when they were in the locker room, some of the LSU players lit up victory cigars. They, Now, one of the most memorable pictures from LSU's historic season and their historic national championship game victory over Clemson will be Joe Burrow sitting on a leather couch inside of the locker room, just leaning back, smoking a cigar. That's probably the most memorable picture.
Yeah, they call that Smoking Joe.
That's yeah. The name of it. Old Heisman Joe Burrow, Smoking Joe Burrow. Call him whatever you want to call him. But he did it. But during that locker room celebration with the post-game cigars, there was a security guard inside the locker room. And the security guard, and this was all on video. We talked about it last week, and we showed you last week, and I'm sure you saw the video. While the security guard at the Superdome was telling a couple of the LSU Tigers to put out the cigars, hey, there's no smoking in the Superdome, in the locker room here. Even if you just won your first national championship in 12 years, put out those victory cigars. While the security guard in uniform was telling a few of the LSU players to do that, that's when former LSU star, current Cleveland Brown wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. walked up behind the security guard and he spanked his bottom. He smacked
Hi-ya!
him on the right cheek. The security guard wasn't happy about that. And he didn't arrest Odell Beckham Jr. for simple battery right there. But then when all the smoke cleared, literally and figuratively, that security guard decided he wanted to press charges for simple battery, a misdemeanor, not a felony.
Mm-hmm.
Look, and I know you should never put your hands on anybody, but in a football locker room after you just won the national championship game, smacking anybody on the bottom, on the backside, is usually acceptable. That's what goes on in locker rooms. Well, the security guard decided that I'm going to press charges. I'm going to arrest. I want to arrest Odell Beckham Jr. for simple battery. And so that was just sitting out there for a few days. Well, something changed because the New Orleans Police Department have officially rescinded the arrest warrant for Odell Beckham Jr. in the butt-slapping incident, the spanking incident, whatever you want to call it. And so now I guess they'll just focus on the legality of him handing out money, cash, on the field to LSU players. Although that's nothing that the New Orleans police would deal with. That's something that the NCAA would deal with. And from what I understand, unless they have it on video of Odell Beckham Jr., passing out cash to an LSU player who is actually coming back next year and to play for LSU, then there could be an issue there because obviously nobody can be given cash to college football players. But on video, the few players that I saw him hand the cash to, their college careers ended as soon as that game was over because they're no longer taking classes like Joe Burrow. You know, he was a graduate transfer. The second that game ended, he is done at LSU. He is not a part of LSU anymore. I guess you could throw all the money in the world you wanted him, and it's legal for him to take it.
Now, do you think Odell Beckham was just being a moron, or do you think he was trying to make a point saying that it's time for college players to finally start getting paid for their games?
Well, Coleman, if he was trying to make a point, okay, but there are ways to do it, and then there are ways not to do it. And doing it on national television, as soon as your alma mater just completed one of, if not the greatest college football seasons in NCAA history. The great, you look at the numbers, the seven wins over the top 10 teams, they could be considered the greatest college football team of all time. That just wasn't the time or the place. He was taking attention away from what they accomplished on the field, and he was putting it on himself. He's putting all the attention on me, saying, look at me. This is great for my social media brands. you know, look at me for Twitter and Instagram and all of that. And look, I'm showing off to all of my people. It just wasn't.
I don't know how he did it, but he was actually everywhere. I've seen further videos where he was in the stands with the band, and he took the megaphone from the band instructor and was giving the band instructor. So he was in the stands with the band. He was backstage in the dressing room area with the football team, and he was out on the field. Like, this dude was everywhere that day, just all over the place acting crazy.
Yeah, you could say acting like an imbecile. I mean, he's been doing that fairly often over the last few years. But he was trying to show the world, hey, look at me. I'm Odell Beckham Jr. I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. Instead of letting the LSU players enjoy the moment and have the attention on them, because they deserved it and they earned it. So that breaking news. Well, it broke, I think, yesterday, but it was Sunday. The arrest warrant by the New Orleans Police Department for Odell Beckham Jr. has been rescinded. And we could all get on with our lives now, at least in that area.
Yeah, popular opinion probably got back to that police officer, and even the other police officers like, dude, really? Dude, really? And he's like, all right, then.
Coming up on the show, we've talked about this story. A new airport is going up in San Antonio, Texas, and they've been fighting the politicians there to keep Chick-fil-A out of the new airport. Wait till you hear what it's costing the taxpayers of San Antonio for legal representation to fight to keep Chick-fil-A out of the new airport. And they're fighting because they say they're anti-LGBTQ, but they have religious beliefs, and this is a story that, boy, can one group's, do you take one group and step on them to make another group look good, or is there any way we can make both of these groups look okay? Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Are you a Conor McGregor fan? Are you a UFC Ultimate Fighting Championship fan? Or is that your thing, Coleman? Do you like the UFC?
I love it. MMA. I like one-on-one sports. MMA, boxing, wrestling.
So you like both. Yeah. You like mixed martial arts, MMA, and you like boxing. Because I know some people who it's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I know the people that the boxing purists are like, I don't like these guys kicking each other and choking each other. You know?
It's not just boxing. It's any sport where it's tennis, where it's one-on-one. Instead of team sports, I prefer one-on-one competitions. There's something more psychological behind it.
Well, two nights ago on Saturday night, Conor McGregor from Ireland made his return to the UFC ring. And you know, I saw people last week and Saturday afternoon. I saw people on social media all excited. I'm paying for the Conor McGregor fight tonight. We're gonna watch the Conor McGregor fight tonight. And it lasted 47 seconds.
That sounds about right.
And Conor McGregor beat someone named Donald the Cowboy Cerrone in 47 seconds. How much did that fight cost? If someone wanted to buy that fight.
A guy at the bar told me he paid $34 for it. Now, that's cheaper from back in the Mike Tyson days, where you pay like $65, $80 for a pay-per-view, like closed-circuit pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So that's actually cheaper, but $34 to watch it.
And the fight lasted about 47 seconds. He almost got a dollar a second worth.
Yeah.
It wasn't much of a fight. But Conor McGregor is he's an exciting mixed martial artist to watch. And I think the he made lots of news. When was that now? Almost 2 years ago, when he fought Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, that was around 2018. But he made news after that. He jumped into like a tour bus and tried to attack another MMA fighter. He's been making news outside the ring more than he does inside the octagon.
Yeah, I saw that. Last time he made news inside the ring, though, it's he left his expertise, mixed martial arts, to go fight Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, Floyd ate him up.
In Vegas in a boxing match. Yeah, Mayweather, but which we all knew was going to happen, because Mayweather, that's all he does is box. And boxing is only a little bit of what Conor McGregor does. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to seen Conor McGregor fight Floyd Mayweather in a mixed martial arts
fight. I would like to see that, too. It'd be completely different.
Yeah, Conor McGregor would kill him. Much like Floyd Mayweather did with Conor McGregor when they just boxed. We'll see what the future holds for Conor McGregor, but he's an exciting athlete to watch. He has some issues outside of the ring. But yeah, I know a lot of people a bunch of people paid for that fight on Saturday night. They didn't think they got their money's worth 47 seconds and it was over.
But that's typical if you follow boxing for years, if you follow MMA for years, it's always like that. People pay big money for these hype fights and the fights usually last less than one round, especially if there's a big experienced competitor in there. You know, Mike Tyson, that Lennox Lewis fights, Holyfield fights, they don't last that long if the guy in there knows what he's doing. You know?
Well, you're rolling the dice on your entertainment value there. Coming up next, tell you this battle going on between the city of San Antonio and Chick-fil-A restaurant and what it's costing the taxpayers of San Antonio to keep the Chick-fil-A restaurant out of the new airport there in San Antonio, because that's what the local politicians are doing. And that's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. We have an update on a story that we've been following on this show for a while now. They're building a new airport in San Antonio, and Chick-fil-A wanted to have a restaurant in the new airport. And they were all set. They spent the money. They're all set to have a new restaurant in the new airport in San Antonio. But the San Antonio City Council voted to keep them out, to say, no, we're not allowing you to have a new restaurant in this airport because you are anti-LGBTQ. And if you know anything about Chick-fil-A, they're not anti-LGBTQ. They are pro-Christian. That's why all of their restaurants are closed every Sunday. Do you know how much money that they lose by being closed every Sunday?
Of course, especially the one in the Superdome. They're mostly closed on game day when the majority of people are in the dome, and that's the only day that Chick-fil-A in the Superdome is closed.
Yeah, Coleman. And, you know, and there's a difference between being anti-something and being pro something else. There's a difference. You know, the Cathy family are the family that owns Chick-fil-A. They're very religious. They're very Christian. That's why they give Sundays off. And they had the audacity, going back a few years now, to donate to causes that promote marriage between one man and one woman. Those are their religious beliefs. But people saw that, some people, and they said, "Oh, you if you're donating money to charities that promote marriage, it should be between one man and one woman. You must absolutely be anti-gay, anti-LGBTQ, all of that," which they're not. You've never heard of the Chick-fil-A or the Cathy family refusing service to people that are LGBTQ. I don't know. I don't have any numbers in front of me, but I guarantee you they never told someone they couldn't have a job there if they were LGBTQ. They don't do things like that. They just, because of their Christianity, they believe that marriage should be between one man and one woman. And whether you agree with that or disagree with that, you have to respect their right to have an opinion.
All right. And I remember when that happened, the LGBT community that were against them wanted to protest Chick-fil-A for a day, and it ended up being one of their most profitable days because the people that were for Chick-fil-A over-supported. Like, the lines were around the corner.
Yeah, Coleman, you're going back 6 years now, yeah. 5 or 6 years. I remember we were doing, I was working here in New Orleans on the radio during the afternoon.
Yeah.
And we did an afternoon show from the Chick-fil-A there in Metairie. It was so crowded. My seat was in the corner right next to the men's room door and where I was broadcasting from, where I was doing my show from. So yeah, that kind of backfired on the people that wanted to say boycott Chick-fil-A, and there were lines down Veterans. I mean, it was a mile long to get into the place that day. By the way, have you noticed the service at Chick-fil-A? The people that work there,
I don't know how they do it,
are pretty much better than any other fast food restaurant you could go to.
I have no idea what gives them the incentive. They are on point. I'm not sure if they have a staff meeting. I'm not sure if they're Stepford Wife androids. But the people at Chick-fil-A have awesome customer service.
Well, anyways, in San Antonio, Texas, their local government there, the city council, has now spent over $300,000 to keep Chick-fil-A out of the airport.
Cha-ching!
And that total is going to rise because there are still other invoices and pending issues. And this... Again, these are the taxpayers of San Antonio, Texas now. Over $300,000 into this battle to keep Chick-fil-A out of their airport. And that number is going to skyrocket. It's going to go higher than that as the days go on.
Now, the people in San Antonio agree? Like, is this their constituents saying, yeah, we don't want this Chick-fil-A, so they're fighting for the people? Or just the San Antonio government doing it on their own behalf?
It started with the San Antonio City Council. I'm sure some of their constituents are happy with what they're doing, but I guarantee you, and I'm also sure that some of them aren't happy that they're doing this. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but if this number keeps going up and if this number gets into the millions, could you imagine right now it's over $300,000, but they guarantee it's going to go up because there are other legal invoices that they have to deal with. There are pending issues that they're going to have to deal with, and they know that this number is going to go up. But could you imagine living in San Antonio, a nice city, got a new airport coming, Chick-fil-A wants to open up in there, but your government, your local new San Antonio City Council is spending piles of money on lawyers to keep them out because in their minds, Chick-fil-A is anti-LGBT. When they're not, they're pro-Christian. And again, I don't care how you feel about the issue, whether you believe marriage should be between one man and one woman, or you have no issue with gay people getting married. I don't have an issue with gay people getting married. I mean, straight people have made a mockery of the institution of marriage here in the United States of America. So if gay people want to get married, who cares?
All right, now let's put our libertarian caps on. Did the San Antonio city own the airport, or is it a private airport? If it's the city's airport, they have a right to not have Chick-fil-A if they don't want it. But if it's a private,
it's got to be. Oh, the city and the state have to be the ones who put the money in.
So if that's the case, I mean, I hate to say it, but they have a right to decide who they want, what businesses they want in their airport. It's their airport.
But the people that live there, if they start seeing how much money it's costing them out of the taxpayers' pockets to try to keep Chick-fil-A out of there, It's an interesting story, but I'll always be pro Chick-fil-A. I think they're great. I think they have the best employees out of all fast food places I've ever been to. And it's every one of them too, whether it's out west, whether it's up north, whether it's down south. Anytime you go into a Chick-fil-A, usually you get really good service, and you can't say that about every other fast food chain out there.
It's a bit pricey for me, so it's like a date. When I go to Chick-fil-A, it's an event.
It's the John Osterlin Morning Show here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Hey, I want to hear from you if you're listening. How do you think that story that we were just talking about in San Antonio, Texas, is going to end? They're building a new airport. Chick-fil-A wanted to have a restaurant in there. The city council of San Antonio voted to keep them out. And there's a battle going on now. And the reason why they voted to keep them out is because they believe that Chick-fil-A stands for anti-LGBTQ issues. When, as you know, Chick-fil-A, they're not anti-LGBTQ. I mean, they serve LGBTQ people. They hire LGBTQ people. They just happen to be the owners, the Cathy family, are very religious. They're very Christian. That's why they're always closed on Sundays, foregoing a lot of money. and they just happened back in the day to have the audacity to donate to some causes that support marriage between one man and one woman. And I've always said, it doesn't matter how you feel about the issue, you have to respect people for their opinions. That's the great thing about America. We opinions are like elbows, right? And something else. We all have them. You have to respect people's opinions. But now, come to find out that the legal ramifications of this for the city of San Antonio is now over $300,000, and it's going to go a lot higher than that. There are pending issues. And this is the money that the taxpayers of San Antonio are paying for to keep Chick-fil-A out of the new airport. How do you think this is going to end? Do you think Chick-fil-A is just going to bow down quietly? I think they do pretty well. I think they can go a long way with their lawyers. And if I live in San Antonio, Texas, I have a problem with some of my taxpayer dollars. This is what it's going through, lawyers to fight to keep a restaurant out of our airport, Chick-fil-A. How do you think this is going to end? Text us, 504-260-9595. 504-260-9595. Keep it short. Keep it sweet. Put your first name or your initials at the end of it. And please do not text while you're driving.
And standard data and message rates apply. Also, yeah, if you're part of the LGBTQ community, I'd love to hear what your opinion is on this issue, too.
Yeah, Coleman. Coming up next, it's Today in History. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next here on Bayou 95.7.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Happy Martin Luther King Day. It's time for us to look at today in history. On this show, we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 20th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 1980. The Iran hostage crisis ends. Literally minutes after Ronald Reagan's inauguration as the 40th president of the United States, the 52 captives held at the United States Embassy in Tehran, Iran, are released, ending the 444-day Iran hostage crisis. Jimmy Carter had a tough time with that. And,
I wonder what got into Iran to make them change their mind.
Well, literally minutes after Ronald Reagan was inaugurated as president, they said, okay, these guys, these hostages can go. Way back on November 4th, 1979, the Iran crisis, hostage crisis situation began when militant Iranian students outraged that the United States government had allowed the ousted Shah of Iran to travel to New York City for medical treatment. They then seized the United States Embassy in Tehran. And, Jimmy Carter was unable to handle that situation. But literally minutes after Ronald Reagan became president, Iran didn't want to deal with him. He did not want to deal with that guy. And they said, you know what? Let's let those hostages go. And that's what happened. And look at history. A week or two ago, we took out one of the top generals in Iran. They are one of the worst political regimes on planet Earth when it comes to human rights. And the majority of Iranians, they're good people. They don't like their political regime. And it's something how history always has a way of repeating itself. January 20th,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today.
You got it, Doc?
I got it, but he was inaugurated so many times, I want to make sure I get this right. FDR was inaugurated as President of the United States for the fourth time. The fourth time. And I've said this before, and that happened today in 1945. Franklin Delano Roosevelt inaugurated to his fourth term as president. If he were still alive, he'd still be president. He did not want to leave.
And was he good, though?
I don't know.
He kept winning, apparently. His fourth time. Somebody's voting for him.
Yeah, Lord knows that could never happen again. You know, two terms, 8 years is enough for any single president. January 20th.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 1982. One of the biggest Ozzy Osbourne legend stories happened today in 1982. During a concert in Des Moines, Iowa, a member of the audience threw an unconscious bat onto the stage. Ozzy Osbourne thought it was one of his props. And so he picked up the unconscious bat and he proceeded to bite its head off.
Yeah!
And boy, did that story make news. And did that make the legend of Ozzy Osbourne grow? And he has since admitted if he knew that it was a real bat that just happened to be unconscious, he wouldn't have done it. He thought it was a prop that one of his stagehands threw up on stage.
So who's running around with unconscious bats in their pocket?
Well, you got to talk to someone in Des Moines, Iowa, Coleman, because that's who brought an unconscious bat to that concert that night.
Security didn't frisk him too well.
And January 20th.
Why today doesn't suck.
Hey, the man who coined the phrase rock and roll died today in 1965. Do you know who that man was? He was a disc jockey, a radio DJ named Alan Freed. And he coined the term rock and roll. But he died today in 1965. And the end of his life wasn't very good. He got in trouble for payola. taking money from record companies to play the music on the air, and instead of just playing the music on the air because it was good, it deserved to be played on the air. And I think he had a drinking problem and he had all kinds of problems. But hey, he could always say he invented the term, he coined the term rock and roll.
One of our Bayou Facebook friends mentioned him last week, and we was talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and how it includes acts that aren't necessarily considered rock and roll.
That's right.
He said when he coined that phrase, that the term roll encompasses everything else that isn't rock. So rock and roll pretty much means roll whatever tie comes through, I guess.
So roll is the reason why the Notorious B.I.G. and Whitney Houston just got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but Judas Priest did not?
According to that, that's what the role means. I'm just saying what I read on Facebook.
And that's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, yesterday wasn't a very entertaining or exciting Championship Sunday in the world of the NFL. We'll break that down. And who do you like in the Super Bowl? Or have you already checked out if you're a Saints fan? You don't care. You're doing other things. But it looks like it's going to be a good Super Bowl between the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, they're back for the first time in 50 years against the San Francisco 49ers. A great defense, San Francisco, against a great offense, Kansas City. What's going to happen there? It's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. This story I'm about to tell you is not the dumbest thing I read all morning, although it could have been. That's a segment we do every morning at 8:35. So we're, an hour and 15 minutes away from that. And there were some doozies this morning. This one was a finalist, but it didn't make it. And this story just has me scratching my head. Pennsylvania woman injures two after driving into oncoming car as a test of faith.
Say what?
She wanted to test her faith. So she purposely drove into an oncoming car.
I'm guessing you mean a faith in her religion, right? A faith in the anti-lock brakes?
The first thing you said, Coleman. She showed absolutely no concern for those injured from her actions. 31-year-old Nadezhda Riley was driving around for several hours the other day, and she was waiting for a calling from God before directing her car straight into an oncoming vehicle on a heavily trafficked road. And this is exactly what she told the cops after they showed up after the accident. Two people in the other vehicle, the one that she hit while she was testing her faith, they were hospitalized with injuries. Ms. Riley survived, and she didn't really care much about their physical well-being because God would have protected them, she told the police officers who showed up after the car crash.
So everybody survived?
Yeah, everybody survived.
Well, maybe God was right in this instance. Nobody died, so maybe her faith came through. She's still alive to tell her story.
So she and the other people passed the faith test.
If her point was that God's not going to kill anybody or she can drive to oncoming traffic and survive, it looks like her faith was tested and she won, I guess. Maybe she passed the test.
According to the police report I have here, Ms. Riley related that God took care of her by not having her injured. She expressed no concerns or remorse for the victims in the other car. She also stated she did not care if the other people were injured because God would have taken care of them.
I mean, yeah, when they sue her later on for all the money, of course, God's going to take care of them later.
According to her, I wonder what God said when they arrested her and it cost her $50,000 bail to get out. I wonder if God was able to pull some strings that way. Look, it's great to believe. I'm Catholic. I believe. But this isn't a way that you go about proving faith. You know, you can't drive your car into other people's cars just to test your faith. She's been charged with aggravated assault and other offenses. And hopefully now, as she's making her way through the court process here, hopefully she'll keep her faith and God might be looking out for her.
Yeah, well, she has a testimony to tell now.
Yeah, you don't see that every day. A woman driver injures two after driving purposely into an oncoming car as a test of faith. Coming up on the show, today is called Blue Monday. Did you know that?
I just found out a couple of hours ago.
Today is called Blue Monday. They say it's the most depressing day of the year. And I don't want to bum you out like that because it's a holiday too. I mean, Martin Luther King Day. We'll tell you why today is called Blue Monday coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. I thought this was funny. One of my Facebook friends posted this. It's a newspaper clipping. And it says, it's titled Facebook. And then it says, I am trying to make friends outside of Facebook while applying the same principles. Therefore, every day I walk down the street and tell passersby what I have eaten, how I feel at the moment, what I have done the night before, what I will do later, and with whom. I give them pictures of my family, my dog, and of me gardening, taking things apart in the garage, watering the lawn, standing in front of landmarks, driving around town, having lunch, and doing what anybody and everybody does every day. I also listen to their conversations, give them the thumbs up as I'm walking down the street, and tell them I like them. And it works just like Facebook. I already have four people following me. Two police officers, a private investigator, and a psychiatrist. Yeah, that was a pretty good Facebook post by someone. So Championship Sunday was yesterday, the two conference championships in the NFL, the NFC and the AFC, to see who was going to win and play in the Super Bowl in two weekends. And usually it's a really good, entertaining day. Yesterday it really wasn't. Yeah, out of the two games, we got one good half of football. The first half of the first game, the AFC Championship game between Kansas City and Tennessee. That first half was good. And then after that, Kansas City rolled the Tennessee Titans in the second half. And then in the second game, the San Francisco 49ers rolled the Green Bay Packers the entire game.
So you're under the impression that blowouts are boring? You'd rather see low-scoring head-on competitions?
Well, Coleman, I don't care if they're low-scoring or high-scoring or medium-scoring. I want to see a good football game, a game that comes down to the last possession. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what football's all about. And you would expect, because yesterday being Championship Sunday, there's only four teams left, the two best in the AFC, the two best in the NFC. You would expect that the games would be close, that they would be well-played, that they would be highly entertaining. And that just wasn't the case.
See, that's the difference. You love football, but imagine how the people that just love their home team felt. They would love to see a blowout. I think they like the idea that their team blew out the competition with no competition whatsoever, you know?
Well, I saw a bunch of my Saints fan Facebook friends posting that they would be doing other things. Some of them said that... Since the Saints are out, they're going to go out and enjoy their lives on Sundays now that the Saints aren't playing. They're not that they didn't enjoy their lives. They didn't enjoy the last Sunday they watched the Saints, obviously, because the Saints got knocked out of the playoffs. But they said that they're going to do other things. No, I'm a football fan.
Yeah.
And I'll watch the games because I enjoy the watching the sport of football. And again, you... Just like we expect a good Super Bowl and a close game, a hard-fought, tightly-fought battle for the Super Bowl, because, I mean, there's only two teams left. They're the last two standing. That means they've beaten everybody else to get here. We expected the same yesterday, but we just didn't get it. We got one good half out of four halves of football on Championship Sunday yesterday. And it's going to be exciting, I think, because you've got Patrick Mahomes, who's playing fantastic, the young quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, and that high-powered offense going against San Francisco 49ers, who are led by that high-powered defense.
Have you seen Mahomes' girlfriend?
Yeah, well, he's been with her since college.
Yeah, I've seen a compilation video of her of each time he's won the game, and she's, like, Snapchatting and... You know, she's freaking out, she's screaming, and the caption was, everybody needs a woman as supportive as Mahomes' woman or something like that.
Yeah, she's easy on the eyes.
Yes.
Although it makes me wonder, Patrick Mahomes, he met her in college.
Mm-hmm.
He's a college star quarterback. Now he's an NFL star quarterback. Does that mean that's it? That's it? It's the only woman he's ever going to be with for the rest of his life?
I mean, nothing's
it's like
wrong
John
with that.
John Bon Jovi met his future wife in high school. And they've been married for a long time. You're telling me that woman is the only woman John Bon Jovi has ever done sex with? When this guy, no matter what city he shows up in to play a concert, he has got throngs of attractive women throwing themselves at him.
Maybe, just maybe. I might be wrong. He might actually be in love.
Come on.
I'm just, it can happen. It can. I know the percentages are minuscule, but his girlfriend is pretty hot. So
no, look, there's no doubt, Coleman, and I'm not doubting that John Bon Jovi loves his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But you're trying to tell me he marries his high school sweetheart, and then becomes John Bon Jovi.
Oh, you're talking about, I thought you meant Mahomes. I thought we were talking about Mahomes.
Well, I'm comparing Mahomes to Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi, no, I don't think so. He's a rocker. This is a different mentality, but... Mahomes, he's a young kid. He seems to be, you know, a moral type of guy. I don't know what happens behind the scenes, but their relationship seems to be on the up and up, and they seem to be happy. And they're just riding the wave of success right now.
Because I see that, too, on Facebook sometimes when people, they say, okay, I'm bored. I'm going to take this quiz. And one of the questions is, did you marry your high school sweetheart? And I always wonder, well, if you did, is that it?
It's supposed to be. You think Tim Tebow ever stepped outside of his marriage when he was flash in the pan?
No, hey, Tim Tebow, has he got married yet? I think he's just getting married, and that means he's going to finally lose his virginity.
I think he lost his virginity maybe 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Did he get married? Because he was waiting for marriage, and I don't.
Yeah, we have to check on that.
I don't think. I know he's been with the same woman for a while. I don't know if they've actually.
I had to do some
done
Googles.
The deed yet because yeah. I don't know if he's actually married her.
I had to do some Googles and figure it out.
Well, anyways, I think the Super Bowl is going to be a good game, and I've always said, and I'm not the only one. Other sports fans have said too. No matter what sport you're talking about, the farther you go, get to the championship game, the playoff, defense usually beats offense. A good defense will usually beat a good offense. In baseball, good pitching will usually beat good hitting. And here in football, and if that's the case, then the San Francisco 49ers should win the Super Bowl, although the Kansas City Chiefs have... started this week as a small favorite, according to Las Vegas, and we will see how that goes. But that'll be exciting. Hey, a great defense against a great offense. And one other thing quickly, for the 49ers yesterday, their fourth or fifth string running back, Raheem Mostert, did something that was never done before in NFL playoff history. He ran for four touchdowns, and he ran for over 200 yards. The guy barely made the team when the season started. He only made the team because he made it onto special teams. He was on the kickoff team. He was on the punt team. And he had been cut by six other NFL teams, and he keeps that cut list. And the date he got cut by each of those teams, a lot of them bad teams too, he keeps that in his cell phone. And he never wants to forget that. No matter how well he's doing now, he could say, don't act like a jerk because... you could be right back to here. He just whips out his cell phone and says, look, these are the six times I've been cut in my NFL career before. But yesterday, what a game for him. That has never been done before in an NFL playoff game. No. Now we got 13 days. We gotta wait for that. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to get to why they call today Blue Monday. They say this isn't a good day for people with depression, because today is supposed to be the most depressing day of the year. Blue Monday is what they call it, and we'll tell you why coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So a couple of friends called me on Saturday. They said, hey, you want to go grab some food? Yeah, I live in New Orleans. I mean, grabbing food, do that all the time. Although when it comes to eating, I'm a pretty simple eater. I've never been a huge eater, but I guess you could say I'm picky. I only eat about 15 things, but
you eat a lot of it. You put it away. You might eat your menu choices might be limited, but you could eat full five times a day. I don't know where you put it, dude.
Well, Coleman, that's what happens when you don't eat that many different things. When you do sit down and find something you like, you just chow until you can't move anymore. So, like I said, a couple of friends called me over the weekend and they said, hey, we're going to go to the Swamp Room in Metairie. I said, all right. I said, that's cool. I said, they reopened because the Swamp Room was open for more than 40 years. And then last year they lost their lease and they closed.
Oh.
And they were always known for their burgers. Because I remember being in the old place. And my friend said, yeah, they're open. So we went there on Saturday, we walk in, we get a table, and then it just hit them, and then it hit me, that Saturday was the opening day for the new Swamp Room. It just opened, and it's right down Veterans. It's right down the street from where it used to be. And boy, they're known for their burgers for a reason. They're absolutely delicious. And they're charbroiled burgers, and you could tell the difference when you bite into a burger that's been charbroiled. You could taste the charbroil. It was so fantastic, and the cheese they put on it, they grate up all the cheddar, so it's just tons of little pieces of cheddar cheese. It was absolutely fantastic. And besides that, their appetizer menu was great because I've always liked that if you go into a place and you got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people and, you know, you want to try a little bit of everything. You know, you look down at the appetizers and you can get a little basket of this, a basket of that, a basket of this. They had the little pigs in a blanket and we got a basket of those. I told you, this is the simple eater in me coming out. Tiny hot dogs that are wrapped in fried dough. Oh my God, were they good? I've never seen that before. A big basket of little pigs in a blanket. I've never seen that before.
Pigs in a blanket, fried like bacon. Pigs in a blanket, fried like bacon.
I almost broke into that chant when I was out there. And we got a few more appetizers, and then we also got the burgers in.
They're gonna do.
And by the way, in this particular swamp room, there's no smoking.
Okay.
And in the old swamp room, there was smoking, but in this particular, even though smoking is legal in bars in Jefferson Parish, unlike here in New Orleans, no smoking there, which I don't have a problem with. I've always said it should be up to the owner. And plus, if they're serving food, I don't think there should be smoke there. But I'll tell you, I can't wait to go back to the swamp room. It's so good, and the burgers are that good. And boy oh boy, you can definitely taste when a burger's been charcoaled, broiled, and not just cooked on a grill. And look, we have some of the best food in the world right here in New Orleans, all kinds of different food, burgers being one of them. But it was great when my friend said, hey, you want to go grab something to eat? We're going to the swamp room. But we had no idea it was opening day. Opening day! I'm not used to going to restaurants on opening day, but definitely go back. And I can't recommend the new swamp room anymore in Metairie on Veterans. It is fantastic. All right, coming up next, we're going to get to this story about why today is Blue Monday. Today is supposed to be the most depressing day of the year. We'll tell you why. And if that affects you, you should go to the Swamp Room, too, and have one of those charbroiled burgers. You won't be as depressed. That's next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And if you're feeling a little gloomy today, you're not the only one, because today, well, besides being Martin Luther King Day, which is a holiday, happy MLK Day, today's the third Monday of January. And they say the third Monday of January is the most depressing day of the year.
Oh.
And if you're wondering why, they say, well, first and foremost, it's January because it's usually cold. And it's really cold in New Orleans this morning, colder than usual. And they say people will get depressed in the cold weather more so than they would in the warmer weather. They also say, well, the third Monday in January, getting back into the rigors of everyday life after the holidays, after Christmas, and after people have spent a lot of money. Some people maybe spent more money than they actually had, or maybe traveled, went on vacation, went to places to see their family, and now they came home, and all of that hype around the holidays, it's all over now. And then you look at your bank statements, you look at your credit card statements, and it's like, oh, Jesus. That's a reason. But you know what? All of that could, there's some truth to all of that. But after looking into it, the fact that the third Monday of the year in January, the third Monday to begin the year every year is the most depressing day of the year, is actually a public relations stunt. It's a PR stunt that, unfortunately, it has cemented itself into modern culture. Every January now, blogs share their tips for how people can save themselves from the gloom and doom. Companies jump at the chance to promote their feel-good products and services to help you get out of your depression. And then social media just goes and they follow suit because that's what social media does. So it basically started as a public relations stunt. In 2005, Blue Monday began with a press release. The now defunct United Kingdom television channel Sky Travel sent journalists an excited promotional announcement that, with the help of a psychologist, they'd calculated the most miserable day of the year, and they came up with the third Monday in January. And then that caught on, and because I guess a lot of people were depressed on this particular day, and so now people actually believe, even though that there is no science behind this, there's no scientific reason. It started as a PR stunt, a public relations stunt.
Were they trying to sell antidepressants or something? Was it Big Pharma or somebody just said, you know what, let's figure it out, what day is the worst day ever, just to see? They had to have a purpose behind the whole PR stunt, right?
Well, yeah, but Coleman, a television channel in England, in the United Kingdom, got together with a psychologist, and they came up with this. I don't know what they were trying to sell. But they came up with this, and evidently a lot of people related to it, and it struck a chord, it struck a nerve with a lot of people. And so if you're hearing today is the most depressing day of the year, before you go get all down and bothered, it was a publicity stunt.
Yeah, and if you want to cheer up, there's a lot of MLK parades going on today that you can enjoy. A lot of marching bands will be going up and down the street, so it can't be all that blue with so much, you know, positivity from the Martin Luther King Day today being a holiday. You get, and some federal employees get days off. You know, it seems like it kind of counterbalances itself.
So again, it's fine if you feel down and blue and depressed today, but there's no scientific reason why. It was a public relations stunt, and it just caught on. Now people are, I'm sure you're going to see that today on social media and all over the place. Hey, don't be so down. But that's why.
You see that every day on social media.
Go figure, though. Playing a mind game with people who have issues with mind games already. It's just another one. Coming up on the show, we will tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning, and this is something else. This was a tough morning to decide because I had several things that were incredibly dumb. I felt dumber after I read them than I was when I started reading them. Stay tuned for the one I got for you today, for the dumbest thing I read all day, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. Hey, we got another one of ISIS leaders. ISIS, they're a horrific terrorist organization around the globe. But we got another one. A 560-pound ISIS leader has been arrested in Iraq. His name is Abu Bakr al-Big Fatty. And his vision of paradise is 72 virgins and 99 pizzas. See the picture of him going around? I didn't know if that was a terrorist we just caught, or if that was who's going to be on that TV show this week, My 600-Pound Life.
He looked like Muhammad the Hutt.
Yeah, you see, hey, good one, Coleman. But like, I don't care how big or small they are. Any ISIS leader, anybody who has anything to do with ISIS, if we could either capture them or kill them, that's a good thing.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
How much could you get done, though, as a terrorist if you're almost 600 pounds?
He clearly wasn't fasting for Ramadan. Clearly.
Yeah, I'd like to see this guy around Ramadan to see exactly what he does. And I guess, look, I know different people have different issues.
He was a leader, though. I mean, he had to climb up through the ranks to get to that position. But if you're not physically fit to carry out your duties, how does he get that position? You know, I'm quite sure there's some activities involved to be an ISIS leader that involves, I don't know, running around,
getting up off the couch. Yeah, you would think you would have to do a little bit more. And good thing that climbing the ladder is a figurative way of speech, not a literal way of speech, because this guy would, he'd still be an intern with ISIS, I think, because I don't know how much climbing he'd be able to do, but yeah, it's a big weight off of free people and good, honest people like you and I, a big weight off of our shoulders when a 560-pound ISIS leader has been arrested over there in Iraq. It's a good news. Coming up next on the show, this is the dumbest thing I read all morning, and this is something else. That's next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know, it's interesting. Our radio station's in downtown New Orleans, and we work in a large building, and there's a lot of offices in here. And it's just very interesting, the small talk that some people will make. I guess just like, for instance, if you're riding up the elevator and there's only one other person on the elevator with you, would you make small talk just to, instead of just standing there in complete silence uncomfortably for a few minutes? See, I can go either way there.
It depends on how hot she is.
What if it's a guy, Coleman? Mm. This morning, I looked at a guy. He looked at me. We didn't say anything for a couple seconds. Then all of a sudden, the elevator door closes. You know, we're going to be on this elevator for a little while. And he says, boy, it's really cold out there this morning, isn't it? Yeah, it's cold out there this morning. It's very cold in New Orleans this morning. Unseasonably cold in New Orleans this morning. Well, it's just interesting what people will say just to maybe avoid some uncomfortable silence.
Yeah, usually I say...
Stating a fact like that.
Yeah. Usually I say, it wasn't me, I promise. I know we're the only two in here, but yeah, that's not me.
Can you smell that? All right. Well, since it's 8:35, it's the time of our show every morning where I tell you, here's the dumbest thing I read all morning. London man reports fake bomb threat to delay flight that he was running late for. Now that's dumb enough as it is, right? But when you hear this guy's name, it makes it even dumber. I mean, obviously, look, people miss flights.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're late, nothing you can do about it. But you've got to be a complete moron to call in a fake bomb threat just to get that flight to delay itself while they check for that so you can make it onto that flight because you're running late for it. The guy who got arrested was 32-year-old Rashidul Islam.
You idiot.
Yeah, if you look, and I know people from all different, with all different types of names. I've tried blowing things up before. But if your name is Rashidul Islam, I think you should have missed the flight that you were running late for and tried to catch another flight instead of phoning in a fake bomb threat. Because in your mind, you're thinking, well, that'll delay the takeoff, so I'll be able to make it onto that flight on time.
He got one part right. I'm quite sure the flight was delayed, but he didn't make the flight.
A London man running late for his flight reported a fake bomb threat to try and delay it. 32-year-old Rashidul Islam was going to meet his fiancée in Marrakesh, but had issues with public transport on his way to his flight out of London's Gatwick Airport. And he worried he would miss it. Well, he did this for a woman.
Don't we all?
I mean, he was going to be late for seeing his woman, and I'm telling you the things that some men do for women.
I'm starting to notice that with this dumbest thing we read all day theme, a lot of it is because of a woman's in some way, shape, or form. Men don't make the smartest decisions when it comes down to women.
So yeah, he had some problems with the public transportation there, and he realized he wasn't going to make his flight. He then decided to anonymously call the police and report a fake bomb threat. And this is what he said when he called them. EasyJet Flight 8897 leaves in 40 minutes. There may be a bomb on the plane. You need to delay it. You need to stop it now. That's what he told the operator. And of course, passengers and crew on the flight were evacuated and held in a room as authorities investigated. When Islam arrived at the airport to check in, police realized his phone number matched the one from the anonymous phone call.
And I guess it wasn't an anonymous call then.
And then he was taken into custody, and then he admitted making the fake bomb threat because he was running late and he didn't want the plane to leave without him because he was going to Marrakesh to meet his
fiance. Okay, yeah. So here's the mystery question. Is the fiance still going to stick with this dude after all this is said and done?
That's a great question, Coleman. She has to be crazy if she does. Although she could look at it and say, you know what? He really must love me if he's willing to phone in a fake bomb threat to get a plane that he was running late for to delay its takeoff so he could see me.
That's also a good point.
Could go either way. I'd like to get an interview with the with his significant other after this. Okay. You know, when you said it's incredible what some guys do for women. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at this right here. Prince Harry is finally speaking out about why him and the American wife he's got, Meghan Markle, are leaving the royal family.
Did he say he did it for the...
He said, well, it was a difficult decision that I had to make. Wait a minute. You had to make? You had to make? Who do you think made that decision? I guarantee you she has him, because she's so good looking, wrapped around her finger. And anything that she says, all she has to do is snap her fingers and he jumps through hoops. That's how a lot of my male friends' marriages are. So but the audacity of Prince Harry saying, I had to make this decision. Oh, I guarantee you your American female wife is the one who made that decision. I can pretty much guarantee you that, Harry. So anyways, this 32-year-old guy named Rashidul Islam, who was running late for his plane the other day in London, England, and he reported a fake bomb threat to delay that flight so he could get on it and go see his significant other, Marrakesh. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So remember, what was it, two and a half years ago, over 2 years ago, Hurricane Maria, devastated Puerto Rico. The island of Puerto Rico was just hammered by that. And, you know, we obviously sent a lot of aid there, but we took a lot of crap as well because people said, hey, you know, hey, Trump, you're not helping fast enough. And the people that don't like that guy were all over us. But we sent tons of stuff down there. We did our job, and yet people were still struggling. Well, did you see recently, over the last few days, they just opened up a warehouse and they found a ton of supplies that were sent down there. Talking about food, medical supplies, bedding. All of that stuff was just found in a warehouse in Puerto Rico. It sat wrapped in plastic and it went unused for more than 2 years. While Puerto Ricans suffered through the aftermath of the devastating Hurricane Maria, people were dying and people were starving and they didn't have medical supplies, and yet the stuff was there, but somebody high up in the Puerto Rican government decided to let's keep all that stuff in this warehouse and lock up this warehouse. Isn't that something? So now people are getting fired left and right. They fired a bunch of people, including their emergency director.
It has to go higher than that. It has to. I think the people doing the firing has a lot to do with this as well.
Well, yesterday, Puerto Rico's governor, Wanda Vasquez, fired two more officials in the most recent development since anger broke out over a viral video showing unused emergency supplies, leftover aid from Hurricane Maria, sitting in a warehouse in the southern coastal city of Ponce, over there. Maybe they call it Ponce. I'm not sure. But how about that? How about that? Who over there? They should, when they figure out who did that, they should let the Puerto Rican people do what they want with them.
Yeah. Wanda.
As far as I'm concerned. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. So last week in the radio industry, one of the big companies, company who I used to work for, they made headlines. They fired a lot of people, and such has been radio for a long time. It's the business that that we're in. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because here in New Orleans, some people, some friends I know, and some people who I used to work with lost their jobs. And I know they're good people. I know they'll keep their heads up and they'll find something. But I saw several people here in New Orleans lose their jobs. And then one other person I used to work with, she got a promotion. So while I watched so many people post on Facebook, yeah, I got cut. I'm part of the big radio cut of 2020. And then she posts, I just got promoted to senior vice president. Everybody around her is losing their jobs, and she posted, "I got a raise." That's why on social media I just don't, and much like on this radio show, I just don't get into personal stuff, because good or bad, it's just gonna rub people, you know. And we saw so many people that I like and that I know and that I used to work with, they're struggling this, you know, over the last few days because of what's just happened. And then she just popped in, there's a picture standing there smiling. I just got a raise. I got promoted. It's
the irony of that, he's pretty for a while. I'm quite sure some of the things you said have rubbed people. So it's every now and then.
Sure, but that's just the nature of the business.
Yeah.
You know? The other day when we went to the Swamp Room, it just opened up again. It reopened because the Swamp Room in Metairie, it had been open for over 40 years. It lost its lease, and they just reopened right down Veterans, right down the same street. They opened on Saturday, and a couple of my friends and I went, and when we were leaving, and by the way, it was spectacular. The burgers are just so good, and you could taste the charcoal when you bite into one of their burgers. You can taste when a burger has been cooked via charcoal. Just fantastic. And by the way, they have tons of different appetizer little baskets too, and they had the little pigs in a blanket, the little hot dogs that they wrap up with the dough and fry them. Oh, I'm a simple person when it comes to food, and that was, I loved it. But we're walking out of the Swamp Room, and one of my friends goes on Facebook and she said, do you mind if I tag you? You know, because, you know, when you go places, you could tag people. I never do that. I never did that before Facebook. Why would I do that after Facebook? But she said, I just thought it'd be respectful to ask you if you wouldn't mind if I tagged you. I said, well, yeah, we're leaving now. I don't have a problem with you tagging me that once we left that we were at the Swamp Room in Metairie. I just don't like it when you do it before we even sit down, because there could be somebody who knows somebody that doesn't like something I said, and the next thing you know, something bad could happen in the restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you spend much of your adult life doing radio for a living.
So you went to eat with a woman, huh? A chick.
Well, what are you looking at over there, Coleman?
I'm just saying, when you told me the story earlier, I thought you was with a bunch of guys, but I'm kind of impressed. You was out with some women. Good job.
It was a man, and it was a woman, and it was me, and we had a good time.
Oh, okay, all right. I had hope for you there for a second, dude.
Well, Coleman, let me just say this for the record. I know lately my dating record hasn't been the greatest, but I was fortunate enough for much of my life to do all right.
All right.
And so now that I'm getting older, I don't know. I guess the next one is going to be the one, if that ever happens. And, you know, I've got a couple of issues myself. So, you know, hopefully.
I wish you luck, sir.
Well, yeah, and I wish you luck, too. I don't.
I'm not in a rush.
Okay. Well, you're younger. You're a lot younger than me, so.
Yeah.
But, boy, I can't. I just brought that up because so many of my so many people I know lost their jobs And then one person in that building got a raise and got promoted, and it was all over the while everybody else around there lost everything. You know, it was kind of weird juxtaposition.
Yep.
Just to see that. That's going to do it for our show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.